Welcome to the Rediscovering Biblical Manhood podcast. We're growing men who fear the Lord, but do not fear our identity in Christ. The enemy is hard at work in our fallen world. So come on, join us in fighting for the restoration of men's hearts through the church, the word, and our risen Savior, Jesus. Well, listeners, we are back for another episode of Rediscovering Biblical Manhood. I am sitting here in the booth with Mr. Jay Teresi. Good morning, Jay.
Yes, good morning. Good to be back.
And I can't wait. Finally, you and I on a walk. It was actually a breakfast we had earlier this week, landed on a topic that we can hopefully pull out, draw out over a few weeks, Jay. So why don't you introduce the team, the team of listeners across the world. And again, shout out to everybody that's tuning in to Two Dudes just sitting here, hanging out on a beautiful spring morning, talking about Jesus. Jay, why don't you give us the topic for the upcoming series?
Well, we're going to be talking about maturity, which is a great topic because there seems to be a big lack of it in the world today as I look around. But one of the things that drove us here is I gave a challenge on our last podcast around our iPhones and trying not to use them as much. And it was really difficult for me. And it just revealed in me a lack of maturity to be able to do what I say I'm going to do. And I got to thinking about that. We got to thinking about it and talking about it. And, you know, what is one of the root challenges that the world is dealing with and the church is dealing with? And we were talking about, it really seems like there's a lack of spiritual maturity, which leads to a lack of overall maturity. And we wanted to explore that topic. What does it look like as we're growing as biblical men to mature and grow?
So, Jay, when you say that not picking up your iPhone is lack of maturity, maybe unpack that for our listeners here as we did, because isn't that just like just lack of discipline or lack of motivation? Like, what's the difference between that and maturity that you're speaking to?
Well, if you remember the challenge, it was, hey, every time I reach for my phone, I'm going to think about the Lord. And I'm going to ask the Lord what he wants. And I did it maybe about half the time. But I think it is a lack of discipline. It's these other things. But mature people do what they say they're going to do. They don't make excuses. Mature people don't say foolish things or maybe take foolish challenges. I don't know. You know. But yeah, I think all those things go together in the same basket. But they're led out by my maturity. Like how I choose to engage the world, what I say, what comes out of my mouth, and then what actions follow that. And it's really easy to see it in other people. And it can be really hard to see it in the mirror.
As we do most series, we should probably begin with a definition of what the world sees maturity as and what we're trying to angle it in regards to biblical manhood and maybe biblical or spiritual maturity as we see it. Do you have any foundation that you're working off as we step into this topic?
Well, while we were talking about it and doing research, the two things that sort of jumped out at me were wisdom and the fruit of the Spirit. And we did a whole series on the fruit of the Spirit here. And I think that's the output of maturity. You see the fruit growing, each of the fruits growing in your life. And I really got to thinking about wisdom. I was praying about this topic and I heard the Lord saying yield. It's about yielding. And I did a word search in a concordance about yielding. And a lot of it has to do with the fruit that the ground gives off and other things you might associate with the word yield. But one of the most interesting things as I got into the book of Proverbs and into chapter 8, the wisdom chapter, and the Lord was saying, I yield, wisdom yields better than gold, better than silver. Like if you will just embrace wisdom, it will yield all these incredible things in your life, which will impact others. And just thinking back on wisdom, and I was just thinking back on my life, and I'm like, wow, so many places where if I had gone left versus right, what would the impact have been? And we're believers, so we believe God works everything out for our good, but we also believe that our free will can cause the train to take some detours that aren't necessarily required if we are being wise.
So you went to Proverbs and this idea of wisdom. When I was doing my research, I kept falling upon Ephesians. And it's funny that on my key ring, on my daughter's wristband, you know, the bumper sticker of "What Would Jesus Do?" Has become, you know, part of culture here, at least around the area that we live. And when I kept looking into this idea of spiritual maturity, for me, it was, you know, being defined as like Christ, right? So Ephesians 4 is where I found this idea of becoming mature, and how it speaks to becoming in every respect mature, illuminating the number of ways that we can do it from a biblical, and in our case, a biblical manhood path. And so, you know, when I say like Christ, it's not what would Jesus do, but for us to, as we've spoken about on this podcast, and it bleeds into what you were just saying there, Jay, being more wise in our steps when I say like Christ, because it can emphasize the skills and the knowledge and the confidence and the personality or character that we are with the experience that we have, but more so what the Ephesians passage and research that I was doing was leaning in towards was this idea of this whole measure within the fullness of Christ, you know, speaking truth in love, the wisdom that you're speaking to, this whole measure of the fullness of Christ, meaning to be more mature, basically, and Christ-like in the actions that we take daily.
Well, what's awesome about Jesus is he's the embodiment of wisdom. He's the embodiment of the fruit of the Spirit. And one of the things I observe about him as we go through the gospel, and this will be interesting as we apply it across each of the episodes we want to do around marriage, around work, around raising our children and being with our friends and colleagues, is Jesus was super careful with his words, super careful with his words. You know,
you're talking about like physically what he's speaking out aloud.
Yeah. If you read the Gospels, he was super careful with his words. He embodied the book of James pretty well there. And he did something that I see a lot of mature people do. He asked questions, or when people came to inquire of him, he didn't just spit out a diatribe of answers and send them on their way. He would engage them and ask them questions to get them thinking on their own, trying to poke on the prejudices or the things that they held in their mind that he knew were immature. But he didn't just give them answers. He poked them, he pushed them away, and he was comfortable letting people wander away and live in the tension. Because at least in my experience in life, maturity comes out of friction, tension. Something happens in your life, you get compressed, and then you grow and mature, usually because you did something immature, blew up in your face, and then you grew and gained wisdom. And out of that wisdom, theoretically, hopefully, you grow in the fruit of the Spirit and you make more mature decisions in the future.
When you started to speak there, Jay, and listeners, just come on a quick journey with me, Jay, you too. Put yourself at your dinner table with your full immediate family, and that could include your parents, or it could just be you and your wife and your kids, depending on what season of life you're in. Now, let's say that the youngest kid at the table asks a pretty basic question that you already know the answer to. So, Jay, walk me through biblical maturity here, because when I think of the roles around my family table, and I had a family dinner last night, there are different personalities at that table that would jump on that question. One to make fun of the question, one to quickly go and solve and be the all-knowing, you know, sage around the table, one that would nurture the question. Like, Jay, walk me through to the point that you were just making, how wisdom plays into that scenario.
Well, I think you did a good job of describing every table, right? There's multiple personalities, whether you're at work or at your dinner table. And you were talking about the different personalities that come out in people. There's the quote unquote introvert who's not going to jump in with an answer. There's the quote unquote extrovert, the knowledgeable person who's going to try to solve it, the jokester. You were going through some of the good human personalities. I think what's interesting about the wise people I've encountered, the very mature people I've encountered, I don't put myself in this bucket. You know, my wife always coaches me, don't lecture the kids, don't this, don't that. It kind of goes back to Jesus. If he was around that table, he would engage each person and meet them where they're at. And so for the joker, he would probably engage them in a fun way, but then the questions he would ask them would cause them to pause and think. He would draw out the introvert. He would give the extrovert something to think about that might calm them for a moment to allow others to engage. I mean, the mature person is able to manage that table in a way that's different than I think most of us manage the table.
And I love that you pulled it out from just around the dinner table and, you know, extended that to any circumstance that we're in. And that's why I'm excited for the next few weeks to really dive into different areas. I know that we had spoken about this idea of before we jump into a specific area in our lives that we should probably turn the mirror back on ourselves and ask ourselves next week, like, where are we at in our walk? Where are we at in our maturity as it comes from a biblical perspective? Where are we at being more wise in the decisions we're making? Where are we at when it becomes to being more Christ-like in the decisions we are making? So as we continue to unpack here, just kind of like this introduction to maturity in the world and from a biblical perspective, know that we are going to be walking forward into future episodes where we're unpacking that a lot more.
And the promise of the gospel is it doesn't matter where you're at today, how old you are, how many mistakes you've made, what stage of life you're in, you can mature from here and grow and be super useful in the kingdom of God. That is the key. Jesus says that the Christian life, or my interpretation of a lot of what he says, is about pouring ourselves out for others and using the benefit of our experience to help others grow in the kingdom, as we grow in the kingdom all the way until the day we go into the grave. So if you're still alive, if you're listening to this podcast, you're probably still alive, then the idea is whatever's going on in your life today, whatever's happening, good or bad, you have an opportunity to grow. If you're going through a difficult season right now, your maturity is going to grow out of that, and that season is going to become a testimony for others to gain help and be potentially see some benefit from that in their lives. Your pain can cause others to avoid pain and grow. If you're in an awesome high season of your life, how do you use that to grow and mature? I mean, this is, and if you're just kind of in a blah season where you're like, man, I don't even know what's going on. Nothing really bad's happening. Nothing really good's happening. I think I'll just go scroll. You know, how do you use maturity to say, Lord, what am I doing? Because back to the secret agent, you're on a mission. And so when you're on a mission, you've always got something to do. Lord is never far and your mission is never far away, even when you draw back from it. And so maturity is a lot of times, I think, about just re-engaging in the world and in your faith and in your walk and not getting distracted by all of the things the world has to offer to numb us out.
I like what you said earlier on this podcast about this idea of trials. And the perspective that we have on the trials, Jay, to see them as a sort of training, kind of like an athlete in the gym when their trainer is making them sore. They don't want to be in the moment, but the trainer continues to push them. And then they, you know, as time goes on, starts to see a benefit to the training. Let me ask you this question in that regards, Jay, and listeners, I'd ask you to join us on this too. When you think of dealing with other people in your life, the person that's closest to you, the person that's you've just met, a stranger in a room, in a networking event. Personality-wise, Jay, at this season of your life, like what is a quick pet peeve that you have in others' personality, believer or non-believer?
That's a good question. I'm generally of the opinion now that our pet peeves are a reflection of the things we don't like about ourselves but aren't admitting it.
So, oh, interesting.
That hopefully I'm maturing. I probably wouldn't have said that 10 years ago. So generally someone who is obnoxiously ignorant of the way they dominate a conversation.
Okay, so like the long talker and the person that doesn't give breath to other people, they just keep rambling on and on and on and on and on.
And or when somebody says something, they've got to jump in with their own story to one-up them.
Oh boy.
To show, you know, they just aren't comfortable with sitting in other people's stories. They just aren't comfortable sitting.
That's curious. Mine's similar but different. Mine would be that less humble person, kind of like you talking in a conversation. But I think the phrase that we've used before, maybe even on this podcast, is, are you trying to be interesting or interested, right? And so for me, that's where I catch myself. And the reason why I asked that question for this podcast is because that catch right there, as you quickly debriefed before you even answered, is potentially a big sore spot for your maturity, right? I think of the word patience. I think of the biblical phrases as well around everything when it comes to making sure that you count it all as joy, even though it's paining you in that situation to listen to that person or have to deal with that person. You've got to be patient and consider them joy in that moment, as James would say, right? And then the other one that I was thinking about was this idea of faith, love, and peace. When we talk about pursuing righteousness in Timothy. So Jay, what else comes up for you when you think about this idea of patience being part of the growth of wisdom, being part of this idea of finding yourself walking more like Christ?
My observation of people who are spiritually mature, they have patience for people who are not, and they listen to them, and they offer little nuggets that could help move you down the road, but they are not in a hurry to push it on you because they understand it's a process and it can't be rushed. You have to go through your process that is different for every person in terms of timing and what you're willing to accept and what you're able to hear.
I've been spending a lot of time with my eldest speaking about not condemning those that are not believers with the same judgment that you hold on yourself. And when I say judgment, or the same standards, should I say, that you hold to yourself and to fellow believers, right? And I think that this plays right into that as well, because we as believers can get very frustrated at work, even in our own family, as happened last night, where we're frustrated, but I'm like, but it's just a different standard. So you just have to reflect and model inside versus talking in the car ride home about how frustrated you are about this person that's not even of the same standard that you are, as much as you wish the same.
I think that's a great place to turn the corner and wrap up on. Spiritually mature people meet people, believers and non-believers, where they're at. And that was something Jesus did an awesome job of. Speaking to the example you just gave, about 14 years ago, I was listening to a podcast, and I could be pretty judgmental back then. And the guy was called the Bible Answer Man. I don't even know if he's still on the radio, but somebody called in and was going on and on about that. And he said to them, why do you keep expecting non-Christians to act like Christians? They're doing what they're supposed to do. They don't believe in Christ, but you're not doing what you're supposed to do in terms of how you're loving them. And it was like the person who called in was like, what just happened? Not the answer they were looking for. Because this is the Bible Answer Man. He's the guy with all the answers. And he was great. That was just, it was so enlightening to me. I grew in spiritual maturity that day hearing that, because he just said that. He's like, why do you expect pagans to act like Christians? Stop doing that. You'll be a lot less frustrated and a lot more able to love them. And they will grow at the rate they're supposed to grow at.
So as we look into a handle to maybe walk away and practice this week, Jay, maybe that's where we start. Are you responding with, what did you say, like receptivity? Are you responding and meeting people where they're at this week? And so maybe if you can aim, even today, as you waltz into today, maybe three is your magic number. Maybe it's just one. But as you take a breath and you ask the Spirit to enter and engage and experience with you, how are you responding to a believer and or non-believer with where they're at so that you can walk through that conversation, trying to model yourself in Christ through that situation? So Jay, would you mind praying for us? And we're going to wrap this up next week. We're going to jump into the same topic of maturity, but really focused and pointed at ourself, or as they may say in today's world, our emotional intelligence around the topic.
Lord, this is a big and challenging topic. We just pray you would give us wisdom as we unpack it ourselves, and there's people listening in as we're unpacking it. Give us guidance. Help us to grow and see and understand how you view spiritual maturity, and give us the opportunity every day to work this out in our real lives. Help us to grow so that we can pour out your love for the benefit of others as we walk and grow you. It's in your name that we pray. Amen.